Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all heard of many reasons for people changing jobs or even relocating to other places, right? As we continue following the story of Jacob in God's grand narrative, we left Jacob and his large family yesterday in the midst of trying to decide if and when would be the right time to separate from employment by Laban, Jacob's father-in-law, and move far away, taking Jacob's large family, including his wives, who are both Laban's daughters, and their grandchildren with him. Can you put yourself into that situation to see what a big and complex decision it was? Genesis 31, verse 1 and 2 tells us two major reasons for separation occurred. Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you." Jacob did what wise men do when making such major family decisions. He called a family meeting, in this case with both his wives, Leah and Rachel. They were sisters and daughters of Laban, Jacob's father-in-law and employer. They discussed what they had experienced in the past many years and how Laban had often treated them unfairly. They finally came to agreement it was time to move. That left Jacob in a difficult place. He was fearful Laban would not be reasonable or even rational, and his life might be in danger if Jacob sat down to discuss a separation plan with Laban. Instead, in his anxiety, Jacob packed up his family and began their migration away from Laban's household while Laban was away at shearing season with some of his flocks in a distant place, according to Genesis 31. I use the word migration intentionally since Jacob had a large family entourage and very many animals in all his flocks and herds. It would have been an enormous caravan of people and animals moving only at the speed grazing animals can move, and that is very slowly. Genesis 31:19 gives us an important glimpse into the complex spiritual and relational dynamics of Jacob's family. Rachel stole some of her father Laban's gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban by not telling him he was running away with his family. So Jacob fled with all he had, crossed the Euphrates River, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. Oh my, there are some emotionally charged words used in that description of Jacob's migration, aren't there? Words like stole, or deceived, or running away with his family. Sadly, it's a picture of significant mistrust and dysfunction in the relationships of this family. But did you notice Laban was evidently an idol worshiper? Did Rachel steal some of the little idols to spite her father? Or because she had inherited that idol worship from her father, was Rachel also worshiping them? Either way, what does this tell us about Jacob's lack of moral and spiritual leadership of his wives and family? Do we see the deep roots of selfishness and deceit in this family? Do we see the dysfunctional family culture in which Jacob's children were growing up? Genesis 31 tells us Laban very soon found out Jacob was on the move with his family and flocks, so Laban rallied a posse and pursued them, catching up to them 7 days after they had first begun their migratory journey. The confrontation between Laban and Jacob and his family was about as explosive as we might imagine it could be. Jacob had been with Laban for 20 years, and therefore both of them had a good bit of pent-up emotion ready to be unleashed in this confrontation, according to Genesis 31. To really understand the magnitude of this defining moment confrontation, I urge you to read or listen to the audio Bible version of what was said between them. Finally, after they both had blown their steam and presented their case, they came to agreement that separation was the wise thing to do, and that place where they were at that moment would be the line of demarcation between them. Genesis 31, verse 43 to 54 gives us a remarkable picture of resolution in disagreement. Together, they piled up a heap of stones as a memorial marker to be remembered by future generations. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today. May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives beside my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me. This heap is a witness that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. Genesis 31. What a remarkable commitment between these men and their families as they resolved their differences. I see several important things. First, Jacob and Laban were in agreement that omniscient, all-knowing God is and would always be fully aware of all that was going on in either of their lives, even when far apart from each other, because God is omnipresent and he sees all. That is a powerful statement of truth about the uniqueness of Almighty God and our accountability to God. Please recognize that 2,000 years later, as the first generation of Jesus' followers were outlining the fundamentals of Jesus' church, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 was written. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Second, Jacob and Laban shared a commitment to women honoring marriages. In many parts of the world then and now, women have sometimes been viewed as little more than property to be owned and used or even abused. But the one true living God, creator of men and women, calls men to respect, honor, protect, and love the women who are their wives, mothers, and daughters. The Apostle Peter wrote it this way in the first century. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Paul wrote this, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5, 25. And thirdly, I see that both Laban and Jacob acknowledged Almighty God was the ancestral God of their family, going back to their ancestral patriarch, Terah, who was the father of three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Genesis 11, 27. They were taking this oath before that one true eternal God, known and honored by four generations of their family. Is that true of your family, my friends? I love Psalm 62, verse 5. You, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. After Laban and Jacob had piled up the stones and taken their oaths, they and all those with them sat down to a meal together and even spent the night as one large family. Can you imagine the conversations around the campfires that night? The record says, early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Genesis 31, verse 55 and 32, verse 1. As we close today, let's stand and watch this remarkable scene with Laban and those with him heading back home, and Jacob and his very large family and flocks resuming their journey south. Sometimes I wish the Bible gives us more information about certain events, and this is one of those. What happened when suddenly some angels from heaven appeared to Jacob? Did everyone in their caravan see the angels, or only Jacob? Did the angels have a message from God? Did they escort Jacob and his family for a while as they resumed their journey? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but one thing we can well imagine, Jacob was greatly encouraged to see angels from heaven. So let's pause right here and watch both groups of people heading down the road in opposite directions and a big pile of rocks as memorial to what God had done in bringing resolution to their conflict here. Is God saying something to you and me about some broken relationships which need resolution?